Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on The Cosmic Connections. I want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. It's the November 2nd program, as I'm coming to you from my home here in Grapevine, Texas. And that was, you know, I was gone for about 10 days. I had driven out to Phoenix. I stayed in the Scottsdale area for 4 days. I flew up to San Francisco, you know, from Phoenix for the workshop last, you know, weekend. And then on Sunday, flew back to Phoenix, went up, and then I got a call from my friend who is my primary, you know, connection with all this. And I had to drive for about 350 miles to meet with her. And I did that. And then I went back to Sedona where I was last night. And I decided, I should say yesterday, and I decided to drive all the way back from Sedona here to Texas. And it was a 14 and a half hour drive. And I got in at 1 a.m. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to do that instead of spending the night at another night at a hotel, and who knows what kind of internet I'm going to have. So this way I'm here at home and all is going well. But with that, Blanca, how are you doing on this fine evening on November 2nd?
Doing wonderful on this fine evening on November 2nd. Busy as usual. Just want to say a shout out to the fans of the Philly. I don't keep up with baseball too much, but my dad does. And so he gives me the, you know, the latest on it. And, you know, the Phillies are in the lead in the World Series. They play tonight as well. So, you know, hats off to the Phillies. And I know you probably might support the Astros being in Texas, but that's who my dad supports. But we'll see. They're supposed to be really good games.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, actually, having lived in the Seattle area for 30 years, I'm still a Seattle Mariners fan. And, you know, and I realized, you know, the Mariners really didn't do that bad against Houston. You know, the first game they should have won, because then the Houston guy, you know, hit a two or three run home run in the bottom of the ninth inning that gave him a walk off. But they had the lead in the bottom of the ninth inning. And then on the third game, it went to 18 innings before Houston won to nothing, you know. So Houston swept Seattle, but not only that, they swept the Yankees. Now, I'm one of those anybody but the Yankees guys. That's
well,
how I feel.
You
know, they've been around too spoiled for too long, so I'm just kind of one of those anybody but the Yankees, okay?
The Astros are there, and so are the Phillies, and, you know, they're great teams, and they're going to duke it out. And good baseball to baseball fans, which my dad says are pretty good games. So.
Yeah, well, I was pretty active, you know, with the Seattle Mariners, and it's another story, but when I was in the legislature, I was the one that introduced the first bill in our legislative process to keep Seattle Mariners in Seattle and not have them move and become the Tampa Bay Mariners. And they were saying they needed a new stadium. They weren't going to play in that old kingdom anymore. And it started with having to get a bill to work through the legislature. And it was pretty difficult, but I was that was my rookie year in the legislature, so there was another person that was more of a veteran that took it over. But the bottom line is I was the one that started the process, and I was very much involved in that whole thing and keeping the Seattle Mariners in Seattle. So, all right.
There
okay, so much for all of that stuff. So, so here I am, November 2nd, in my home in Grapevine, Texas. And what's going on? Well, in the currency exchange, folks, again, we're just waiting. And it's back to who the decision makers are that are going to say, yes, the funds are ready to go. The preliminary folks have all of their contracts signed and are just waiting. The Texas Processing Office has all their contracts signed. Everything is lined up, and they're just waiting. And I've been saying for some time, and this is just my good estimation hunch, is that they're waiting for the current system to collapse and to fall before they're going to release these funds because these funds are designed to assist in that process. And we're just seeing so much going on in the financial world that there are just more and more what I call professional financial people that are starting to say they're surprised we haven't had a collapse yet, because all the cycles are there, all the issues are in place. And I think the reason we haven't seen the collapse yet is because the cabal can manipulate the stock market. They have the ability to keep it going, falsely going up or staying even and not collapsing. And the people watch the stock market. That's what they do. But the real reality is it comes out when the banks don't have the ability to keep operating. Now, Blanca, you and I had talked about this just a few minutes ago, but it was last week that the Federal Reserve here in the United States bailed out Credit Suisse Bank. They bailed out a major bank in Switzerland, gave them about $9 billion so they wouldn't go under, because they knew that if that started, it could be the snowball effect that would just then lead all the way down to us. And what most of the financial experts are saying, and also what I call the good intel sources that work with and in these, what we call the alternate world, are saying the collapse is first going to start in Europe. Watch for it there. That's the sign for us to know that the snowball effect will come and hit us in the United States. And they are so close. The mainstream media really isn't talking about what's going on in Europe. It was last week I saw basically a post in Facebook that was saying in France, people were having to line up for 2 to 3 hours sitting in line to get gas for their cars. And in the last 8 to 10 months, they've in Europe, in Germany, they've had over an 80% increase in their energy costs. So these people are getting hit really hard and really bad. And part of it is, you know, this whole boycott of boycotting Russia. And it was, to me, is one of the most stupidest things they could have done, because Europe is dependent upon Russia. Europe does not produce its own oil, and it gets 40% of its oil from Russia. And then so they're going to put boycotts against them, and they're going to basically, you know, start other things against them. And it's just stupid, okay? Anna, you're saying no sound, but I'm seeing everything else that seems to be doing okay. Folks, go ahead on Facebook. Go ahead and write some comments there if you're saying that there's no sound. I know that the print is coming up, but if you're saying that there's no sound. Okay, now I just turned it on, and I could hear it on my Facebook. I could hear the fact that it's there. Okay, but yeah, so folks, I want to make sure everything's going here good here. So, yes, yeah, Rich, you're saying sound is good. So, Anna, it's on your end. Everybody else is saying fine, and I did all my tests and everything is fine. And Mike says, I hear you, Dave, so thank you. And Paul says sound is okay. So, Anna, it's something with you. Okay, thanks, folks. Okay, we don't need that anymore. But that's the scenario. The scenario is they're saying that the collapse is first going to start in Europe, and that's the key for us. And with that, folks, that's when I would really start pulling your money out of the banks and trying to find it. Now, I've talked about where do you do it? Well, the best thing, again, is to always buy your gold and silver. Gold and silver always holds its value when the market collapses or you have this hyperinflation going on. Now, here's what's interesting. What the mainstream media isn't reporting to you is the Federal Reserve has printed up more trillions of dollars of fiat currency, more in the last 3 years than the previous 200 years combined. They've been this massive printing and printing and printing and printing. And folks, that's what's creating our inflation. And the history always shows that's what leads to a collapse and a crash, because it's unsustainable for them to be able to continue to be doing that. So everything is there. All the signs are there for this new possible collapse that's going to take place. So, Blanca, with anything with that, any comments you would like to add to that?
Well, yeah, I totally agree. You're seeing such instability in the financial markets. And then some of the moves that China and Russia and the BRICS people are doing financially. So a lot of the story is about the shift away from the petrodollar. And, of course, that's the basis of our financial system. Now, our economy is something different from the financial system. And so the financial system is something that Dave's been talking about a lot, that that's really what keeps people enslaved. It's a debt system. And so when they're printing trillions and trillions of dollars or sending billions and billions to Ukraine, you know, that's for your great, 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 great grandchildren to pay off so that they can be debt slaves too. So it's a good thing that the system will come down. But anytime there's a big change and shift, there's going to be a chaos, et cetera. And so what Dave's talking about is if indeed this thing's going to come down, you want to the best ability, you know, safeguard your money and safeguard your wealth.
Yeah. Just on a side note now, Clifford Toops, you had made a comment. I don't comment about Meta One here on the program. That's part of an agreement that I have. I don't talk about Meta One. I don't comment. You need to do your own work and your own research on anything with Meta One, because I'm not going to make any comments on Meta One. You folks need to do what you need, your own research on that. So, yeah. All I know is that in my comments, that cryptocurrencies are still in a very volatile stage. You know, I mean, Bitcoin can go up or drop 10% in one day, a 10% movement in one day. So it's very volatile how it can, the cryptos, how they can still move around. So on one hand, cryptos are nice, but if you're going to put your money in the cryptos, boy, you got to really watch it closely, folks, because what happens is when the market starts dropping, crypto has a tendency to follow along with it. Now, the lady that is my primary source, she's so connected in the money world. There's another source of where you can put funds that when the markets start collapsing, that is safe. And I need to do some more work and research on that before I'm going to talk about that. Because to me, what I've said is that, you know, you basically your safe place is gold and silver. And then your next safe place, you know, is basically bonds in very, very solid and strong companies, everyday companies. The companies that are going to do well in a market collapse, because there's some of them that do, those are your bread and butter companies that when a market collapses that they still are okay because people turn to those things, okay? But there's another one that it takes money out of the banks, but it still is very solid, and I need to do more research on that, and I'll bring that to you. So now, what's up? 2 weeks from Saturday, I have a workshop in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and then 3 weeks after that, I'm going to be in Santa Ana, California. And again, folks, I want to reiterate, this is what I'm saying. When it comes time to pay out, I'm going to start with the people who have attended the most recent workshops, and then I work myself back from there, okay? And I know some of you have been to them, but, you know, there's people that have been to 6, 7, and 8 of these workshops, and they absolutely love them. They say the information is so solid and strong. It's stuff they can't get anywhere else. And also, if you want to get paid soon when the funds are being released, you're going to want to show up at one, okay? And, folks, this is also what helps support me. This is what helps pays my bills and keeps me going by the way you are coming and attending workshops, you know. So that's what I really appreciate. So, and I give information there that I just cannot talk about here on the Internet, because I have to be somewhat careful on the Internet, because people can take what I say, can misquote it, can fabricate it, and can start attacking the process, you know, that's out there. So, but at the workshops, I can always give more detailed information of what is really going on. And again, everything we are seeing is that only a matter of time. It's not a question of if, it's only a matter of time before the funds are going to start being released. But it does take a couple months to get to us. So once we hear that what I call the smaller groups, like the Reno-based groups, are starting, you can plan on it to be about a couple of months before it starts getting to us. And then it's going to take me 2 to 3 months to pay everybody. So that's the process. But we've been waiting on this a long time, and it would be nice to do this. Now, having said that, I have been told by my brokers that they are wanting to have more people come into the exchange because they want to take this money and they want to spread it out. So if you would like to be in the round one of the exchange and you can't make it to a workshop, what you need to do, you need to send me an email saying, I want to be in round one of the exchange. And what I will do is that you will purchase from me up to $5 million, and that's in, you know, multiples of 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 million, and it's going to cost you $62 a million. That's what it is. So in essence, for $310, you can purchase $5 million from me, and that money then, you know, gets sent, you know, to, you know, I mean, basically, you're coming through me to buy the dong from the broker because they have a surplus. So instead of taking dong in, they're wanting us to buy it from them, the surplus that they have. And as of now, it's scheduled to pay out at $1.50 a dong. That's a pretty good deal, folks, that you can take $310 and turn it into $7.5 million. Now, we're still working through how I'm going to pay that out. I want to do the method that is safe and secure for all of us. But what I will most likely do is that I will first send you, because everybody's going to have to do all new complete paperwork. And it's there that I get the information on your bank accounts. And what I do is I probably send you about $1,000 to test your bank account to make sure it's working and that's the good one. And then when I see that, then I'll probably send like another $99,000. So you all have $100,000 and you got good, quick, spendable money. And then after that, I'm probably going to do this in one of two ways. I'm either going to set up an e-wallet or I'm going to send out physical checks. I highly encourage you to set up more than one bank account. You don't want to put all this money into one bank account, and even if possible, to have a bank account that's overseas outside of the United States. So in case you see something coming, you can take your money and transfer it, and it doesn't get locked up by the U.S. bank system. So, or you can take it and you can move it very quickly off into other sources where it's very safe and secure. So that's what I would encourage you to do, okay? But that's the process. There's the possibility, I said, well, I can bring in about another 100, 150 people is what I'm told. So that's how much I got room for, folks. If you want to be in this, this is the way to go. So, well, tonight in the program, I'm going to play a couple of videos that I sent out. I think I sent them out 1 or 2 weeks ago, but these are so solid and so strong in their message. We're going to watch those, okay? But Blanca, before we go into the videos tonight, there's what do you want to share with us?
No, it's just always good to hear that you're inviting other people to participate to be part of the first round. For a long time, people were just thinking they were going to have to wait and be part of the second round. So this is a really nice opportunity. And so it's always good news to hear that you're opening that up to folks. And hopefully people will think about it and take advantage of it.
Okay, so the first video we're going to go into is about a 10 or 11 minute video, again, by Robert Kiyosaki. He's the guy that wrote the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he's really become a great financial expert. So let's go and watch the movie.
America. I've been saying to people, silver is still 50% of all time high. $50 is $25. So the question is, if a can of tuna is $25, what does silver go to? And that's what I'm concerned about. But it gets worse. It just gets worse. Well, this is a guy, Jordan Peterson. He's a Canadian. And he talks about, he says, you think tough men are dangerous. And Trump was a tough man. But he says, watch what weak men will do. And this guy, Biden, is the worst I have ever seen men tonight. And today what's happening is Russia and China are now ganging up on the U.S. It's really a dangerous world right now. It's getting worse. I was a bit optimistic. But now we have the weakest, most corrupt government. You know what happened to Hunter Biden's laptop? If the FBI loses his laptop, there's something really sick inside this country. And so that's kind of what I gauge all my macroeconomics on, is where is Hunter Biden's laptop? I mean, how can the FBI lose? We have no financial education in our schools. That's what I'm concerned about. My biggest concern with Russia and China are ganging up on us. As we all know, America produces nothing anymore. We produce bubbles, you know, we just blow air bubbles. So we now have this bubble in real estate, stocks, and bonds. When Biden took the Keystone Pipeline, XL Pipeline, off, just wiped us out here. Inflation goes up, and the average American doesn't have $1,000. 40% of Americans don't have $1,000. And so when inflation goes up, we're going to wipe out 50% of the U.S. population. And that is when revolution starts. If and when, and it will come down, the stock market crashes, the 401k, the old guys like me, are toast. If we don't have a retirement, our pensions are bust. So what we have are three things. Is our treasury is out of control. We've lost it. Our entitlements are out of control. And now we're at war with the Defense Department. So our GDP is out. So every time, I wish I could have some good news. So that's why I did the tune again to a Sober Eagle comparison. We're in trouble. As we all know, there's insiders to every deal. I don't have any stocks. You know, I don't invest in the stock market. But they're my companies on the stock market. So the best deals are always done early. So when people say, do you invest in Bitcoin? Yes, when it was $6,000. We've got to know what's real today. And that's what I'm saying. We have the weak leadership in world history. America's in serious trouble. So I want to find out what's real. And China and Russia are now ganging up on us. We went to Venezuela and Iran to buy oil from them. And this guy Biden cuts off oil supply. Everybody talks about intrinsic value. What is intrinsic value? I can eat tuna. That's value. And if you're starving, I'd rather have a can of tuna. I like to make fun of things because otherwise people can't hear me. They get too serious. So I'm just saying that we're in serious trouble. That's getting worse. That's what terrifies me. If they go to the government, crypto, government Bitcoin, whatever they call it, it's Big Brother at that point. They're going to be knowing everything you're doing. For years, I've been buying those green canisters of silver coins because the government can't trace them. I can use them for money. So I can go anywhere in the world with a silver coin and spend it. I can go with a gold coin and spend it without being traced. Not that I'm hiding it. I'm just sick and tired of this government. I don't trust them. As I said, if Hunter Biden's laptop disappears in FBI custody, we have a serious, serious, serious internal problem. And so that's why I, you know, tongue-in-cheek, tweeted that I'd rather have a can of tuna right now than a silver coin just to get ridiculous. Get ridiculous because I can eat the tuna. I cannot eat that silver coin. I can spend it. Always remember, America has stopped producing products. We produce bubbles. Now, the good thing about a bubble is when they burst, everything goes on sale. And so in 2008, I waited till about 2010. I borrowed $300 million because debt is money, as you know, every 71. And I began buying real estate at high prices. So just recently, the repo market inverted again, which means we're going down. It means recession's ahead. But my concern is now revolution, because when people can't afford to eat tuna, we're going to have riot. So it's a whole different type of bubble burst. When Biden took us off the pipeline, oil prices went up, oil produces fertilizer. When fertilizer is no longer cheap, people can't produce food. And the average American has nothing. 40% of Americans have nothing. Inflation is going to make them very upset. A stock market crash would bring down the baby boomers. So wherever there is trouble here. So I'm just being ridiculous in my tweets because it's better than listening to Biden that I've been a can of tuna right there. That's what I'm saying, is that at least I can eat it. I'm a U.S. Marine. You know, I fought in Vietnam twice as a pilot. I've seen what happens when people, when the communists, people can see it in Ukraine. Communists always kill civilians. And that's what people don't realize. And as a Marine, they sent kids and women after us. So a lot of my friends came back with PTSD. And you can see in the Ukraine Russia's not hitting military targets. They're hitting civilian targets. And when you understand communism, because I am a student of communism, they don't know what Marx said. But what Marx said, they had to have the poor get poor and the middle class come down. And that was the recipe for revolution. And I see Biden doing it. When he took the Keystone XL pipeline and took us off of it, and the prices went up. Now, the thing is, I got you. Because I produce oil. I don't invest in Shell, Exxon, and all that. I invest in oil wells. So when oil went from $30 a barrel to $130 a barrel, I got richer. But I also got more concerned for my fellow human beings. They can't afford to live at $130 a barrel of oil. And so that's why in my tweets, I just get ridiculous about it. Hopefully somebody will listen. I'm doing my best to explain to people. I'm a U.S. Marine. I went to the academies. When you see the Russians hitting civilian targets, it doesn't register in most people's minds because Americans haven't seen war. If you understand that communists kill their own people, Mao killed his own people, Stalin killed their own people, Americans try and stop that from happening. And then our own press, I mean, I came back from Vietnam, 73, I got spit on, hit by eggs, called the baby killer. And I'm still a little bit bitter about that, but it prepared me for today. Our school system should teach us about money. We have communists inside the wire. They're inside our government, they're inside our school systems, they're inside Hollywood, and they're inside Silicon Valley. And that's why I wrote this book, The Capitalist Manifesto. I said, we've got to fight back. And we fight back with information and education, not weapons. But I am concerned about my fellow human being. I don't care what you are, white, left, green, pink. I am concerned because 50% of Americans are broke. Inflation is going to wipe us out. I simply don't trust my government, especially this character, Biden. And I don't trust the Fed. I don't trust the banks. And I don't trust Wall Street. So it's pretty simple philosophy. In other words, what I say, if you can print it, I don't want it. If you can print the dollar, I don't want it. If you can print the stock, I don't want it. You know, I want something I can see, touch, and feel. What's real? Find out what's real. So as you know, I've been a gold bug since about 1971 when Nixon took the dollar for gold standard. And I'm becoming more fanatical, not less. I literally have tons of gold and silver. Tons. I own gold mines. I graduated from school in New York in 1969, and I had a high-paying job. I'm an oil guy, so I sailed for Standard Oil under oil tankers. So my background is oil. But I still joined the U.S. Marine Corps in 1969 to go fight in Vietnam. And Marines don't fight for Democrats or Republicans, liberals or conservatives. Marines fight for our freedoms. And so when I saw our freedoms being taken away, especially after the 2020 election, like, you know, Donald Trump's a personal friend. I might have written two books together. But when they took our freedoms away, that's when I went back to war. And that's why I'm willing to take the fire from the liberal academic left. I'm just concerned about our country and the world, especially this guy Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. And what the hell are they doing? Why aren't we fighting back? So that's why I said I'd more lose than to gain by writing the book. In 1965, I go to school, military school in New York. I had nominations to Naval Academy, West Point, and Kingsport. I took Kingsport. But my economics teacher, rather than have us read Keynes, Malthus, Ricardo, and Adam Smith, he had us read Marx, Stalin, Lenin, Mao, and Hitler. And so I realized, I hate to say this, but most academics are Marxists. And my poor dad was a Marxist. You know, the abolition of private property, a heavy or progressive income tax is essential for the proper development of communism. And, you know, Biden just appointed about 87,000 new IRS agents to go after small business owners. So we're becoming a fascist totalitarian state. And most people, while paying taxes, you're supposed to do it. If you look at history, the facts are America was founded as a tax revolt. 1773, Boston Tea Party. We're not a slave nation, you know. And that's why I fight now. That's why I said I better say something. Because I went to military school and fought in Vietnam twice. And I fight for freedom. We're taking our freedoms. I can go back to this book here. You know, Marx said it was 1848. It's only about 50 pages. But it's a great read. He said communism would come in two phases. And the first phase was 1930, so this is 1848. He said communists come in two phases. So 1930, the Berlin school sent teachers to Columbia University to teach the Columbia University teachers program. And that's when communism entered America as socialism. I was in school in New York in the 60s. That's when the first rioting broke out at Columbia University, which spread across the country. And then the second phase happened, in my opinion, in 2020, when social media shut down the President of the United States. And that's the loss of our freedom of speech there. And COVID, you know, which was Klaus Schwab, how can they censor doctors? How can they get fired for speaking out against COVID? I just don't understand our loss of freedoms, and we say nothing about it. My point of view is communism entered America via our school system. You know, the BRICS nations of Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And he talks about how the Belt and Road Project now is going to affect 90% of the world's population, and they'll all be on the CBDC yuan. They'll be going into Chinese crypto, not American. The U.S. dollar, according to this guy Andy Scheckman, is toast. And that's why it's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They're going to take over the world with their own gold standard. I'm a gold miner and a silver miner, and I own physical gold and silver. I own no ETFs. My rule of thumb, as you know, if you can print it, I don't want it. What am I investing in today? Gold, silver, oil. I own the oil and the grum. I own Japanese breeding bulls, you know, Wagyu cattle. And so I don't sell the cattle. I sell the semen. It's called semen. It goes back to that story I tell. I'm a Marine pilot flying off a carrier off the South China Sea. And I find out Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. What does that mean? So I flew behind enemy lines because the NVA had overrun the mine, proving Marines aren't the brightest guys on Earth. And I try and buy gold at a discount. So I knew it was 35 an ounce. And the day I went looking for gold, it was $50 an ounce. And I was trying to get the little Vietnamese woman with the red teeth. I still remember her. I was trying to get a discount. I want a discount. She goes, spot. I said, discount. She goes, spot. I said, what the hell is she talking about? She was two of my best teachers on gold I ever met. I say the same thing in a couple questions. What does school teach you about money? Nothing. Put yourself on the gold standard. You know, don't wait for the federal government to go back on the gold standard. You know, start buying some gold and silver coins and keep it in a safe and don't tell anybody you have it. But put yourself on your own gold and silver standard. I started small. And now I literally own tons of gold and silver. I went into the mining industry. Real estate is different because it's regional. You know, and so it's just Miami and it's booming. And you've got other states, they're dying. And crime, what I'm concerned about is crime is going to move. I mean, I live in a very affluent neighborhood, and the guards at the shopping center, they're getting tased now. So these kids are coming up, tasing the guards and stealing stuff. That's what happens when you defund the police and you say, don't punish people. But, oh my God, I'm concerned about our citizens. I carry a gun all the time now. My poor dad was a PhD, which stands for poor, helpless, and desperate. And they believe that their credentials, they believe a higher degree, like a master's or a doctorate's, will save them from the world. So their values are different. Whereas you and I and other people say, well, let's learn about money. Let's learn about finance. But in the academic world, is I have a PhD and I'm smarter than you. That is that. There's different value systems. The reason I joined the Marine Corps and not the Coast Guard, I could have flown for the Coast Guard or flown for the Marine Corps, because I'm going to go to war. I want to go with guys who want to kill. You know, I don't want to go to war with a Coast Guard guy who wants to save lives. I want to make sure values are aligned up. So that's kind of the same as in marriage. You know, your marriage is a tough game also. But if your values are lined up, you have a better chance. So values are core to the individual. And unfortunately, we all don't come from the same set of values. And most school teachers are different from us. They're good people. Like my poor dad's a good man. But he was a Marxist. He believed in taxation and the abolition of private property and labor union.
Okay, that's we're back now. And that's the one that's from Robert Kiyosaki, and he gave some pretty strong statements there, but it's back to, it says it's extremely important that we educate ourselves in financial education. Folks, what's going to help you through the process, if we go through this collapse, is that you know what to do. You're not dependent upon a system that has fallen apart. And you notice also he talks about gold and silver, the importance of that. So now what I want to do, we're going to go to a second video by a guy by the name of David Morgan. David is a silver specialist. And let's see what he has to say. Let's do this, okay? He's being interviewed by another lady, okay?
Hi, I'm Daniela Cambone, and welcome back to SansburyInvestor.com. My guest today says that get ready for a new banking crisis, but it's not like one that you may have in mind. Please welcome back to the show David Morgan of The Morgan Report. David, good to see you. Thanks for joining us from your car.
Well, I am parked safe and sound, but pretty busy schedule, and we wanted to get this out to the public. So, thank you.
Exactly. You were gracious enough to accept it. I said, we got to get you on. I said, I'm in my car. I'm like, I'll take it. And yes, for the folks back at home, David is sick, not driving. All right, let's talk business here. You've been very vocal lately about a banking crisis. Now, David, we know you as the silver guru. You don't really, talk outside of, silver a lot. But when you do, we have to pay attention here. I certainly, and you said that we are going to see another banking crisis. But this time it involves bail-in. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, basically I do look at the big picture. I consider myself to have a macroeconomic view, and then silver is just a subset. But regardless, the bail-ins really bother me because after the last bailout, there's legislation passed in the Senate and House that it's illegal to do bailouts, which means bail-in. And that's kind of gnawed at me for some time, Daniela. So I started looking at the very basics, the fundamentals. And one of the main fundamentals is what is money. Of course, there's theories about money. It's commodity money, which, most of your viewers are most familiar with, gold and silver, ancient times, voted by the people. And then there's legal money, which is money's anything that we say it is, or money's anything that the government edicts or fiats. That's money. And then there's others. But the one that really hasn't gotten much recognition is the ownership theory of money. And the ownership theory of money resonates with almost everybody that's seen you in Stansbury. Which means if you can't touch it, you don't own it. Very common sense, very logical. But we've never really applied that to the fiat system. So I started thinking about it more and more. I really kind of had, I wouldn't say an epiphany, but something that really provoked me to ask Greg if we could explore this. And of course, it obviously resonated with you, because the idea that you have money in the bank, everyone takes for granted, but they don't read the fine print to realize they're an unsecured creditor, talking about the United States now, an unsecured creditor to the bank, and it's really the bank's money, believe it or not. And what that means in a banking crisis, and let's say that there is a bail-in, they have the right legally to take what you consider to be your money. So there's two thoughts on this. Number one is the ownership theory of money is you take out physical currency from your bank account, and you can do it any way that's best for you. In other words, you don't have to withdraw your entire bank account in cash, but I would certainly consider owning some cash. A lot of various reasons, electronic failures, cyber attack, bank closure, terrorist acts. Who knows? I look more toward electrical problems with the grid, perhaps, or cyber attack is the main two that concern me. And the other part is that I didn't really say to Greg, and that's, if you have a large sum in the bank and you're really just being acquainted with the precious metals, one of the easiest ways to move money, quote-unquote money, is to move it a check or a wire and take X amount from your account and move it into physical metal. And that's what a lot of savvy people have done over the years that have listened to you on Stansberry. It's like, I need some protection. I need some what we'll call monetary insurance, some wealth protection. And I've got a lot of cash, but I don't have any metal. So that's one way to do it. The other part, again, I'll give it back to you, Daniela, is does it make sense to take cash out of the bank? And the answer is absolutely, absolutely. I mean, once people wake up to the idea that, uh-oh, and just one more comment, it's kind of funny, but it isn't. And that's at the 2008 crisis. Guess who was running down to the ATMs? The Wall Streeters. Not the man on the street. The Wall Streeters knew what the heck was going on, scared to death, worried about an ultimate collapse. And they were draining the ATMs at the time. So back to you.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions because I've known you for a very long time, and you're not one to come out with warnings. So the fact that you had this epiphany is what really resonated with me or concerned me. And when you mentioned Greg, that was your conversation with Greg of the Watchdog. So it did resonate with me. And I want to dig a little deeper here. So how much currency do you think is sitting in the banking system that can be taxed?
Probably about 1% of what the cover ratio is. In other words, the math shows 5%. Half of that, or more, 60% is overseas. So that drops you to about 2.5%. So that 2.5%, I cut it in half again because half of the currency, the physical, you can touch it and own it, money, we'll call it, is in grocery stores, casinos, liquor stores, places of business that do business. So it's not in the bank. It's scattered out all over the United States in various businesses. So how much is actually in the bank when you, owning a bank account, go in there and say, hey, I've got $10,000 in this bank, I want in cash. The chances of you getting it might be good. Next person, okay, and the third person, they're out of cash. But being a business, you just don't get the idea. It's a big, very small cover ratio.
I've been doing this for a very long time. I don't think I've ever seen a trend like this year where I have so many experts coming on, more and more people coming on telling me they're getting completely out of the banking system. So how, you know, what's your exposure now, David, if you don't mind sharing? I know you mentioned you should have cash at home to make sure you can pay rent and whatever your basic expenses, but are you completely out of the system now?
I'm not. You know, I have to have an account, the business account to pay,
right,
you know, people that work with me. So not completely out. No, I think there are really two methods here that most people are familiar with. One is the traditional privately held money, gold and silver. And other, of course, it's been at the forefront for some time now, and that's the crypto world. So between the crypto world and gold and silver, there are a lot of people that have opted out. And I don't know Michael Saylor personally, but obviously a smart guy and a guy that is pretty much on the Bitcoin baptized system, which I, you know, is a way to take large sums of money outside the system and secure it. And more and more people, again, are waking up. I'm not as favorable to the crypto world as some. I'm more favorable to the traditional method of physical metal. But nonetheless, I think it could be overexposed. And I don't want to scare everybody. I did an update for my paid members last night, Danielle. I'll show a bit of it. This is an educated guess. If they fail in this to occur, I think it would go along the line. Everything that's guaranteed by the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, will be left alone. And for U.S. people, that is $250,000. So that's the fifth very good sum of money. It's a pretty tidy sum. Most Americans don't have that sum, and some have more than that. So the bail would likely go, anything above $250,000 gets bailed in, and anything below that is touched. So that's my take on it. David said it. Does that make you know? That's my idea about it. But I want to keep people calm. I don't want people to think they've got, you know, $12,827 in the bank, and during the bail, it's going to blow away. It won't. I'm 99% sure it won't. But for those that got to me in March, back to the start of the illness, Daniela, if I could digress just for a moment to make a very important point. A lot of people called me in March 2020 for this caliber of person. David, I've got $1 million in the bank. David, I've got $2 million in the bank. David, I've got $4 million in the bank. I have never bought gold. I'm very concerned. how do I do it? I'm brand new. I don't want to make a mistake in the office. Never had that quantity of people in that position during 1 month period in my life call me up and say, I'm really concerned about how much money I have in the bank. I want to get out of it. Can you help me?
I can second that. I've been getting a lot more calls about that too. People are new to the precious metals and don't know how to start or why. And I'm not an advisor like you are, David, but you know, hopefully I can help point people in the right direction. That said, when you say it's not that your money will just disappear, I guess when you're talking about a bail-in, when I first heard about your reservations, is that you just won't have access to your cash. Is it frozen in this scenario for you?
I think that's the most likely scenario. I do that based on historical precedents. If you go to Argentina, for example, Daniela, what you find is that the accounts were there. You didn't lose a dime, but your access to it was limited. So for an example, you had $1 million in the bank, but you were only able to withdraw off $300 per week. So, wow, what if your expenses are $5,000 a month and you're only able to get $1,200 a month? What happens then? So this is the kind of thing that really concerns.
So let's take it one step further here. With all the talk about central bank digital currencies, and we've been talking about it a lot here on SanferInvestor.com, does it eliminate that risk? Is that why central banks are moving in that direction?
You can make that argument. The other side of that coin is, do you accept peer-to-peer? In other words, someone is owed currency. They're not familiar with Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever. And the person's willing to make good on their debt in a cryptocurrency, but the receiving party doesn't really know how to accept or whatever, which isn't that hard. I mean, you can get that one, someone can talk them through it, and they can accept it. But, you know, on a contract basis, there has to be agreement on both parties. And I can see a situation, I'm just being on the negative side of it right now, could be difficult in some instances. But that is a way of, you know, out. I mean, there's a big problem. I mean, it's pretty clear that the DeFi, the decentralized finance block, is getting the root of the issue because of the central banks coming in with their cohorts in the regulatory bodies and saying, we've got to regulate. And they're seeing more and more regulation. Plus, one step further, give me feedback. It's what's security and what isn't. And, you know, I'm pretty well versed in the legal aspects. I'm not a lawyer, but I've been in the field and I study pretty hard. Now, a lot of the arguments are securities, which put you to a whole different jurisdiction or a different body of governance than most people are aware of.
Let me ask you this, David. Comparing it to 08, what envision, again, this is David's theory, David's thought. What's the straw that breaks the camel's back here?
Well, the amount of currency that people are aware of is a psychological phenomenon more than a math issue. But with the reverse repo being in like the $1 trillion range, having to suck money in and out of the system every night, the amount that the government, the United States and others that are borrowing that are inflating at an unbelievably unprecedented rate, and still the U.S. becomes still remaining pretty much the strongest currency and the most trusted. It's when the confidence in that breaks, and it's breaking as we speak, is when you're going to see these problems. And one of the solutions that is at law is a bail-in. Whether or not it will take place or not, I do not know. What I do know is it's my duty, my moral obligation to warn people how I think, whether they agree with me or not. That's their choice.
And I had a very in-depth conversation with George Gammon recently about reverse repo. So folks out there are interested, I urge everyone to check out that interview. My second to last question for you, David. Why are you more concerned now than 2 years ago? Is it because of the liquidity that's in the system now that's way more than 2 years? Or why the epiphany now?
Feedback, paying attention to what's called sentiment. It's the amount of people that have awakened to the truth that you can't print yourself home, to the fact that there's something drastically wrong with the financial system. It's broken, and it has no real relationship to the physical economy. So the economy is what we do to eat, to live, to build, to grow, all those things that are physically tangible to the human experience. The financial markets are supposed to reflect the actual economy. It does not. We keep seeing a stronger and stronger number in the stock market, but that would indicate if they were correlated to one of the best economic situations ever. And it's not. We have people that are hungry. We have people that are unemployed. We have people that have lost their businesses. We have people that are struggling. We have people looking for a second job to put food on the table. So there is absolutely no correlation. This upsets me greatly. And so, again, it's my duty. I feel like I've been called to the business I'm in. And I get to say that. That's how I feel about it, very strongly. And that is important. And thank you for asking me to come on and give this message out. Again, you know, I'm the messenger. The message is clear. If something's drastically wrong, and what do you want to do about it? I'm just giving you that message. It's up to you to, you know, accept it, deny it, or think about it.
Really well said. Last point on the point about, you know, owning gold and silver. It's not just for a bail situation, but you've been writing a lot about how there's probably enough protection in these inflationary times. If you could just talk a little bit about that.
I think one of the main things that has been lost among especially the precious metals people is what the function of gold is and what it's done. You know, the upset of the Morgan Report is to build and preserve wealth. Gold has preserved wealth. From 2000 to present day, gold had a compounded annual rate of growth of 10% every year. So it has maintained wealth. How can I say that with authority? If you go to shadowstats.com and you look at the true relation rate, it's been about 9% again. So gold's function to preserve your wealth, not make you wealthy, but to preserve your wealth, has been stellar over a 20-year period. But most gold bugs, and you know, maybe I'm guilty of it, have been waiting for the big explosion. You know, when's gold going to 10,000? And it probably will, because there's going to be an overreaction to the demise of the current financial system. So gold will react a little bit overreact. As far as if it's done its job, it has. Silver has been too bad either. On the same metrics, compounded annual rate of return of silver is about 9%, which matches the inflation rate. Now, silver is more volatile, and it's also a smaller market. So in the event that we get this explosion in gold, we'll see silver really explode in my view, because there's so many people that at the last minute will buy it no matter what the paper price is, because they feel that the currency is going to fail. And so if it's 50 or 60 or 70 or $100 silver, they're very willing to pay that because they're worried that we're going the way of Zimbabwe and the currency is going to have no value. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the idea of it happening will take hold of some of the populace that will take action. I think before it's worth zero, we'll see a reenactment of another financial system. And I think it'll be, right now, the best guess would be the SDR, because that's what's coming to the fore right now. Special drawing rights are going to be, pervasive here pretty soon. And if that step doesn't work, then you could see a central bank digital currency.
Looks like it's coming sooner or later, and I'm happy. Well, on the note about silver, you saw what people were willing to pay on premium
right. Earlier
this year.
Yeah, that's a foretell of what, you know, the silver market's really capable of. I mean, I don't like to see people pay high premiums, but the market's the market. And if you've got to pay a high premium to get silver, people will really do it.
And I'm happy you mentioned that about gold, because just yesterday I was, you know, debating with someone on Twitter. You know, I got a lot of emails like you do, David, saying, you know, I'm so disillusioned. I'm expecting more from gold. And my answer, you know, was really, well, what were your expectations? You know, what were you expecting gold to do and what has it not done? And like you said, yeah, it's not at that 5,000 or 2,000 yet as we speak. But like you said, it has done its job.
Done its job.
David Morgan of the Morgan Report, thank you so much for joining me from your car. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Now my pleasure.
And sense of urgency here, folks. And thanks so much for watching. We'll have much more for you on sansbearinvestor.com. In the meantime, don't forget to register free at danielacombone.com for premier content and special reports you can't get anywhere else. Thank you for watching. I'm Danielle Combone.
Okay, great report there. One of the things that he didn't mention, and this was on another video that I'd watched from somebody else, is that there is a tendency to want to, when you purchase gold or silver, to purchase the certificates, the paper. But there was another guy that said, if we all of a sudden have an absolute crash and people make a rush to get gold or silver, the problem is there's about 7 to 8 times the amount of paper silver than there is silver certificates than there's physical silver. So we could see this explosion then, because all of a sudden there would be this demand for silver and there isn't enough for people to have all that. Silver right now is running roughly $19 to $20 an ounce, and gold is running roughly $1,700 an ounce. Now, and what I have always said is, what you could do is that we all need to still have our bank accounts, because we got to make our everyday payments. We got to buy food, put, you know, gas in the car and stuff like that. We use our debit cards, you know, to do a lot of that stuff. That's fine to use to keep what is called your usable living money in a bank. But if you have large sums of discretionary money, as what those last two had said, I would encourage you to take it out of the bank and you can buy gold or silver. How easy is it to buy gold? At $1,700 an ounce, 1 pound of gold will basically cost you around $36,000. And what do you, now, people do different things, but usually one of the things you can do, you can go down to Costco, you can buy your own little small safe, and you can keep it there, you know, in a safe place in your home or whatever. And, you know, so in case, you know, that's, you know, where you can keep it. You don't go telling the world that you have it, but, you know, put it in a very safe, secure place and that you can keep it there. And, you know, you could put 40 or 50 pounds of gold in a small safe and, you know, next thing you got $200,000 or $300,000 to basically, to back it up for what you got. So, but folks, there are so many different good sources that are saying this is where we're going, because the fiat currency system of the United States is no longer stable. And as one of the other sources that said, they have printed up more money in the last 3 years than the previous 200 years combined. That's what's creating our inflation. And some of these other guys are saying that we are probably right on the verge of some really serious problems. We may start seeing some riots again, some serious problems around this, because of the fact that inflation is now basically starting to eat up more and more of everything that we're purchasing, and everything is costing more. And when you have senior citizens who are on a limited fixed income, life's going to get very, very tough for them. And what you're going to find is that people in the middle class who have families, they don't have hardly anything extra anymore. It's just survival is what it is. That's the world that we're moving into. Now, involved in the currency exchange, this is the counter side to that. And this money is designed to be able to soften all the damage that is out there. And it puts us in the position of being able to help other people through this process. So, okay. That's all that I have there. Blanca, let's go back to you. Why don't you share your comments?
Well, these people said it best, and they said it loud and clear, and you've been saying it too. So hopefully people will take away the insight. And I think your listeners are probably pretty savvy, that things are very unstable, and you're going to do yourself a favor by protecting your wealth. Now, one thing that they were talking about towards the end about gold and silver, now, people are not encouraging you to buy gold or silver because you're going to make a lot of money, you know, like an investment. They're encouraging you to do that to preserve your wealth, all right? So, you know, if people buy it at the rates that you're saying and it doesn't skyrocket, you know, the next month, well, that's not what people are telling you is going to happen. What they're saying is this is going to be a way to stabilize your wealth when things start to get really, really bad.
Sure. And, you know, and we don't know, but like, you know, what David Morgan was talking about, the bank bail-in. What it means is if the banks are going to collapse, they don't go to the government to bail them out. They take your money out of your bank account. They take it out. Now, what they do is they turn around and they issue you a stock for that, but the stock is worthless. The only way you're going to get your money out of it is if the bank comes back and does well again. And so that's the bail-in situation if you have, you know, a good, you know, chunk of money that's in the bank. And the other thing, just as a side note, what most people don't know is, see, the Dow hit its high in January of this year. It's already down close to 20% since its high in January. 20%, that's a lot for it to be down. So if you had money in the stock market, and a lot of retired people do because they have their 401k accounts, and those accounts are based in the stock market, I would say, you know, remember, gold and silver is designed to preserve your money, but there is the possibility that it could go through the explosion. Cliff High was saying about 8 months ago that he thought gold was going to go all the way up to maybe $500 to $600 an ounce when the explosion takes place, and that is a possibility. So everybody needs to do what you need to do for yourself to protect yourself and to protect your money. Okay, so Blanca, are we ready to go into the callers?
I think so.
Okay, so folks, if you would like to call in and you have some questions or you would like to make some comments, the number there is 515-605-9356. Again, it's 515-605-9356. And then press 1 on your touchtone phone, and that kind of raises the little hand on our Blog Talk Radio, letting you know that you would like to call in and you have some questions or you'd like to make some comments. Again, 515-605-9356. And I know there's probably about, you know, again, a 5 to 10 second delay, you know, from the time that I say it until you guys can hear it over there. But so far, I haven't seen anybody that is wanting to call in and make some ask comments or questions. Now, next week, folks, again, what I'm going to do, I've got another program that I'm going to share by a guy by the name of Bill Donner. And he is saying a lot of this same stuff. And he has been a financial expert. Donner was a guy that he goes back almost 50 years, and he made 3 prophetic announcements. And he was chastised and so heavily criticized for what he was saying, but yet he was always correct. And his last one was that he projected the 2008 collapse. This time he says he's giving his 4th and final warning. And he says all of the signs are there. Everything is lined up for the United States to go through the collapse again. Why am I saying this? Because I'm trying to help us preserve our money, to be prepared for when it happens, and also being in the position with our, basically, our currency exchange, that we are in the position to help other people, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to need it. Blanca, I'm not seeing anybody. Do you see anybody that is saying that they want to?
No, I don't. I think they're just chewing on all the good information that they heard today and getting ready to buy some gold and silver maybe.
Well, I'm ready to call it an evening then. How about you?
Yes, I think we had a good show.
Okay, because we've been going for about 1 hour and 5 minutes. That's a little longer than what I like to do. But, folks, thank you very much for joining us tonight. This is a good program for you, and we'll see you then next week. And I'm a little looking for the jingle. Come on, where is it? There we go. Okay, thanks a lot, folks. Okay, bye-bye.